This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the point of galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable and fixed blade knives and game processing kits. Now, in my bag this year, I had the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit. It comes in a very compact, handy carrying case, and one handle has the replaceable blade knife and the gutting blade. The other handle has the saw that comes with it. So I use the saw to split the pelvis, and I use the gut hook to open up the cavity and the blade to start cutting all the stuff out, right? So it makes cleaning a deer very simple, very easy, and the knife is sharp. And if you've ever had to gut a deer with a dull knife, we all know how much that sucks. So take a look at the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit and head on over to OutdoorEdge.com and enter the discount code NATION30. That's NATION30 for 30% savings on your purchase.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. Joining me today,
Micah Winstead.
Micah is here.
Of course I'm here.
What's up, buddy?
Dude, I'm ready to get back out, kill a few more coyotes, but I'm also starting to get anxious about turkey season.
Anxious as in excited?
Yes. Excited. I'm hoping that my properties have some turkey on there. If not, I know I could go up north and probably get on some birds. Because, I mean, you and me both, we're not huge into turkey hunting. So, but this year I think I'm really gonna put it out there.
Really going to give it a yeoman's effort.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm going to try with the bow, too. So, I'm pretty excited about that.
And we got some turkey episodes coming up soon. We're hoping, at least.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. I mean,
April's right around the corner. So, you know, be looking forward to that. But today, we have a pretty cool one.
What?
I said pretty cool.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
No, we are excited about today's, you know, when we started this whole podcast thing, we wanted to make sure we got the opportunity to highlight organizations that are doing good things in the outdoors. And so, you know, we've done that with a few other organizations, and we hope to continue doing that. Today's episode is, you know, close to my heart, being an ex-firefighter. We have Jim Mesh and John Cerna with the John V. Mesh Memorial Scholarship. So for anybody that, obviously you're going to get explained to you by Jim and John in the show, but John was a Kansas City firefighter that died in the line of duty on October 12th, 2015, in a tragic accident. Him and another fireman passed away in a arson fire. It was later deemed to be, and two other firemen were injured pretty bad. So yeah,
it was a bad deal.
It's a pretty big deal in the city at the time. If anybody remembers, if you're from Kansas City or even just from the Missouri area and kind of remember that sort of time, the Royals were in the middle of their playoff run. So that happened during it was just kind of a big deal at the time. And Jim and John have started this foundation to continue John Mesh's memory.
Right.
Moving forward.
Yeah. John was, John Mesh was, he was in the outdoors a lot. And like we said, his brother was here and telling us all kinds of stories and stuff. And he was a diehard hunter and outdoorsman. So, like Nathan said, they started this foundation to get kids involved in the outdoors as well as, you know, help out with some scholarships for, you know, young adults and stuff. So, it really cool episode. We really appreciate those guys making the drive, coming out here tonight. And,
yeah, they actually came out in person with us.
Yeah, which that's always better. We always we prefer to do them all in person, but you can't do that all the time. But
I'm not sure how John actually got here because he just had surgery on his arm.
I know. He come downstairs with – I'm like, am I supposed to shake your hand or not?
But, yeah.
So no, they're both really cool guys. Yeah. And we had a good time with them. And they highlight, you know, obviously the John Mesh Foundation and talk about what it's all about and the things that they're involved in. And also how we as listeners and stuff like that, we can get involved. Or if you know somebody that has a kid or something like that that wants to kind of, you know, doesn't have an opportunity to get out in the outdoors, maybe get them involved with this. They sponsor a bunch of different things, camping trips and bow hunting weekends and different things along those lines.
So they've got their main fundraiser every year.
Yeah.
But they basically try to do as much as they can for as many kids as they can. So, you know, they're involved in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So even if you're somebody out there that's listening to us that has your own foundation or nonprofit or if you just want to, like you're starting this hunting club for kids or whatever,
something.
This is the type of organization that you should know about because they help with that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure they can't do everything that is asked of them, but I'm betting you they want to try to do as much as they possibly can.
Yep.
So two great guys that sat down with us today, and you're going to get an earful about what it is that this foundation does.
Yep. So enjoy the show.
All right. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, got a good one today. At least in my mind, we've got Jim Mesh and John Cerna with the John V. Mesh Memorial Scholarship. That was a mouthful. What's up, fellas?
Morning.
What's going on, buddy?
Morning.
It could be.
It might be by the time we're done. You never know. Yeah. Talking to a fireman and an ex-Marine, so it could this could go all night.
Former Marine.
Former Marine.
No
yep.
such thing as an ex-Marine.
That's true. That's true. That's what I've heard. My uncle is a Marine, so he I hear from him all the time. So, before we get into today's show, which we're basically going to talk about John's Memorial Scholarship Foundation, some of the stuff that you guys do to get kids involved in the outdoors. But before we get into it, I'll have you guys introduce yourselves and kind of talk about how this all started. For a lot of the listeners, you know, some of them might not know who John was and what the story is around how this all started. I'm well aware of it because I grew up in the Kansas City area, and I just remember that day, what happened. It's just that time of the year, a lot of stuff was going on. Jim, why don't you start, introduce yourself, and we'll go over to John after that.
All right. I am Jim Mesh. I am the brother of John Mesh. John was a Kansas City firefighter who was killed in the line of duty on October 12th, 2015, along with fellow firefighter Larry Leggio, and they had two other firefighters that were injured that night. And in the wake of John's death, John Cerna, who is with us tonight, was the driver of John's pumper that he had worked on, Pumper 10, approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in doing a scholarship in John's memory or a foundation. Obviously, this tragedy, you know, was devastating to us, but we just couldn't, you know, let that. We had to have something to, you know.
Something good come out of it.
Correct. Right. Keep John's legacy yep. alive. So John approached me and said, hey, would you be interested in doing a scholarship in John's name? And I said, absolutely. So we established the John V. Mesh Memorial Scholarship, which is a 501c3. And our main goal is to get kids into the outdoors. Me and my brothers and sisters grew up in an outdoor family, whether it be just camping in that, you know, going camping next to the river back, you know, this is in the right. 70s. I'm an older guy, but either camping or hunting or fishing or just enjoying the outdoors in general. So we thought the natural fit would be to do something outdoor related in John's memory.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing I was going to ask you is why was it an outdoor related thing? And I know you and I have talked previously, yeah. but I knew it was because John enjoyed the outdoors and that yeah. would have been a natural fit. But so that's a good way to put it. John, why don't you introduce yourself too real quick before we get too far?
Sorry. My name is John Cerna, and recently retired from the fire department. I worked with John for almost 10 years on the same company and considered him one of my brothers and best friends. Spent a lot of time in the outdoors with him. So when he perished on the job there, you know, that was something that meant a lot to me, losing such a close friend, but I wanted to do something to keep his legacy. And it's funny how things transpire. So John and I spent a lot of time hunting together, you know, taking our kids hunting together and him and I hunting together. But, you know, I wanted to do something in the conservation area. And I said, you know what, let me just make a couple phone calls and see, you know, what I can do that's not just a scholarship, right? Everybody's got scholarships for everything. So I got Jim on board, and I happened to call the Missouri Department of Conservation. And I don't even really remember how it transpired, but I called a gentleman I called the number, and a guy answered, and I said, hey, you know, my name's John Cerna. I'm looking to start a scholarship. Do you have any direction that I can go to help conservation agents get scholarships? Or, you know, what does it take to be an agent? How much does it cost? Anything like that? And he said, you know, I kind of told him the backstory and what I want to do. I said, you know, I want to get kids involved because yeah. that's what's important to John. You know, mm-hmm. he had four daughters. They hunted since they could, you know, carry a shotgun or rifle, right? So mm-hmm. he said, well, it's funny that you caught me on the phone. He said, I started a nature camp for girls, and we're always looking for sponsors. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, that's just fate. So he explained to me what he did and what it took. And I called Jim and Amelia. I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, this guy starts this girls camp, Missouri Nature Camp for Girls. Mm-hmm. That's got to be the very first thing that we sponsor. So he's like, that perfect. And then, you know, we threw together our first annual sporting clay shoot. That's our main fundraiser, is a sporting clay shoot at Powder Creek. So we threw that together, and we had a great turnout our first year, raised a little bit of money, and immediately went to the girls' camp, and away nice. We went.
Nice. So that's how it all started right there.
That's,
huh?
What year did y'all start this?
2015.
So yep. Same year. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. I had approached him, and it, I mean, within a month, you know, I wanted going. To get something okay. going. And it takes a little time to get yeah. all yep. your ducks in a row.
Right.
And then 2016 was our first shoot.
Okay, nice.
So it took a few months to get everything together. But,
right, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good turnout.
Yeah, when Jim and I talked a few months ago, the first time we talked, you know, it's odd for a guy like me. You know, I didn't know John. I'm not an ex-Kansas City firefighter, but it's odd to me how, to me, it just seemed like John and Larry's deaths were much bigger than, unfortunately, a lot of firemen die, and a lot of them die in a lot of duty. Cops and firemen die, and Overland Park just lost a guy, which is where I was from not long ago, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, you don't really hear about it ever, but I think what was going on in our city at the time, you know, it was during the Royals World Series run, you know, that whole hat thing. I mean, I think I had three of them at one point in time, the KCFD hats that
Crumpy's Sports and
Yeah,
Apparel.
They did that, and I, you know, I don't know where all that went, but, you know, it's just his death always stuck out to me. So when Jim reached out and he said John's name, I immediately remembered. And so, you know, I think being able to take what happened to him and then, you know, turn it into a positive, to, you know, his memory to continue to live on is big for you guys. And especially, you know, right after you lost your brother and your literal brother and your brother, at the fire department is big to start that. And then, you know, hopefully we'll talk about all the different things you guys do, after that first shoot that you did mm-hmm. for the camp and stuff. So, you know, after you got it started, how did the growth go, and what did you guys start kind of focusing on as far as getting kids more involved in the outdoors, which is kind of the whole goal of this foundation you guys have started?
Well, I would say the first year, I mean, you guys know, you're from here, that it was ended up the fire that John passed away and ended up being an arson fire.
Yep.
And so it was sort of a big deal in the city. Like you said, the Royals were in the American League
yep.
Championship Series, and they had the families on the field on national TV, and then they went to the World Series, and then with that being an arson fire and two guys getting you know, dying in the line of duty and two other guys getting hurt. And it was such a big fire that it was just, you know, just such a well-known event that the first year we did it, people just, you know, gravitated towards us because everybody, you know, wanted to, you know, be a part of it in that way, but they wanted to help and be involved in comforting the families and to help yeah. and helping people in John's name. And that was sort of our, you know, moving forward from that first year, we were like, you know, I hope that, you know, now it sort of, you know, dies down and other stuff, world events happens, is how's this thing going to, you know, progress? And the people that we deal with have been nothing more than or less than remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, we're basically dealing with guys that are on the job, family, friends, business acquaintances. I mean, we have no major sponsors per se. So everything that is donated to this charity is done by either people that John knows or I know, or, you know, someone like you that I reach out to that knows right. about it and they want to do something. And it's just amazing that they just, to this day, we've, you know, been 5 or 6 years now, and people still can't do enough for us.
Yeah, people want to get involved.
The event keeps growing. We're actually the largest event that Powder Creek holds, believe it or not, as far as tournaments or any type of activity out there. We're their largest event. But to answer your question, the Nature Camp was the first thing that we sponsored. It carried on for a couple of years. And then Jim, through networking and meeting people, hey, you guys help kids. Yeah, well, we do this bow hunting camp, right? So we sponsor kids in bow hunting camps. And the very first, I'm sorry to tell the story, but this is my favorite story to tell. What makes this whole entire thing worth doing. So Jim calls me. I have a son that was, you know, a mid-teenager at the time, and it was for 15 year and younger boys and girls, right? Mm-hmm. They go to a weekend camp, only bow hunting activities, right? So you learn how to shoot a bow, you learn how to do, you know, for every type of archery hunting, right?
Yeah.
So it's a three-day event. They stay in tents on someone's farm, and
you can say where they stay at.
So he calls me. He says, "Hey, I got your son. We're going to sponsor four other boys to go down there. It's kind of spur of the moment. I know it's in 2 weeks, but we got four kids we're going to bring down there, and then we're going to sponsor four other kids or five other kids, whatever it was, that couldn't afford it, but otherwise wanted to go through the people that put it on, right?
Right.
So we donate and pay for that. So we get down there, we're just kind of hanging out, and they're doing their introduction, and a young lady walks up to us. Jim and I are kind of standing in the back, and she's got tears in her eyes. She said, "Hey, my name's so-and-so, and my son is here for the weekend. I just can't thank you enough. He's one of the boys that you sponsored. I was diagnosed with, I don't know if it was breast cancer or some type of cancer, and it's been really hard on us financially and mentally, and this really fit perfect this weekend, getting him away, and I appreciate it." And it was just the most heartfelt thing in the entire world, and that just made it for us right there. I mean, that one little instance was...
I mean, that's why you do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome. Crazy. That kid was probably the smallest kid size-wise in that camp, and he had really never been out, and he ended up winning camper of the weekend, and I think he ended up winning a free bow and this, that, and the other. And this little kid, I mean, he couldn't have come up to my kneecaps. And when the mom came up, and when I was, you know, they introduced, hey, you know, some of the kids are sponsored by the John Mesh Scholarship. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, Jim and John Cerna. Can you guys tell us what, so I was, and I noticed the lady, like John said, she was looking at me, and I was like, why is this lady getting teary eyed? And then when she come up and said that, you know, hey, I'd lost my job because I got diagnosed and my son was originally supposed to come, and then I had to tell him we couldn't afford it. And then, they called back and said that you guys are sponsoring it. And this little kid come up, and I mean, he stuck his hand out, shook our hands. And it was just like, holy cow. And then for him to win the Hunter of the Weekend award was just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely makes you feel good knowing that you made the right decision to do something like that. I mean, which is why, you know, we wanted to have y'all on, because our podcast, while we're not a nonprofit, and we don't make any damn money, but, I mean, we're not a nonprofit. We kind of have similar goals. Like we want to talk about the outdoors to get people more interested in things that Missouri has to offer and the Heartland, but, you know, mainly Missouri for the most part. And,
right.
And, you know, if listening to this can get one parent to reach out to this foundation to say, hey, I'd like to get my kid involved in this. What are my options? You know, not everybody knows that you can just, you know, go buy a bow and start learning. I mean, how would you know if you've never even been around it in your life, or you've never fished once in your life? How would you teach your kid how to fish?
Right.
I mean, it seems simple to a guy that's been fishing his whole life.
But for somebody that lives in downtown or something like that and is not around it, I mean, you might as well just put them in a cage or something, because, I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like learning how to speak a different language.
Right.
You don't know how to do it, so you just don't.
Right.
So,
That means a lot. I mean, to be able to get those stories, and of course, as the time's gone, I'm sure you've had more of them. But before we go down this, one thing I kind of wanted to talk about is John a little bit in the outdoors. John Mesh, your brother.
Right.
What was some of his favorite things to do outdoor-wise? Was he a big hunter, a big fisher? What was some of his favorite stuff? You guys were talking about some hog hunts that you went on that unfortunately didn't get to continue, but, you know, was that some of the things he enjoyed mostly?
I would say bow hunting was by far the top of the list.
Definitely an avid bow hunter.
Absolutely.
And just him and we got an older brother, Mike, who he was the first one. And Mike, like I said, my mom and dad, we would go hunting with my mom and dad as mm-hmm. little kids. You know, and I have seven brothers and sisters. So, I mean, they had a gaggle of us just sitting out in the woods, camping out or doing whatever, you know, fishing down at the Missouri River back in the day. I mean, I can remember rabbit hunting down at Riverfront Park right there where Harris is at now. You know, mm-hmm. back then you could do it. So, and it just, that's what we did. I can remember going duck hunting with my older sister. You know, I was in probably elementary school, and she would take me duck hunting. That's just what our family did. So, but my brother Mike, he played pro ball for the Red Sox, and he started bow hunting. So he ended up passing it on to me and my brother John and my brother Mark. So my brother Mark ends up shooting back, I don't know, sometime in the 80s, like a 26-point buck up in Chula, up in northern Missouri.
Nice.
And at the time, I believe it was like the number three bow kill in the state of Missouri.
Oh, wow.
So then once we seen that,
oh, now it's competition time.
Well, that plus the fire, like, holy cow, you know. And back then, you could go bow hunting, and you wouldn't see another bow hunter the whole season.
Right.
You know, now you go bow hunting, you walk in on your own property, and you see a guy sitting in your stand. There's so many people that are doing it. But so that just, you know, morphed into, you know, my brother Mike and my brother John, they bow hunted. You know, if he wasn't with Cerna hunting, he was bow hunting with my brother Mike.
Yeah.
And like John said, he has four daughters, and they are, for lack of a better word, girly girls. If you look, I'm like, oh, them are beautiful little girls. But you get in front of them when they're trying to, they're
killers.
They're stone cold killers. Yeah. they are some shooting fools.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. It's just one thing I wanted to talk about it. You know, what did he like doing? You know, because like we said at the beginning, I didn't know John. You know, you almost feel like, I think for the listeners that knew what happened at the time and remembered it, a lot of people almost felt like they did know him, you know, because as an ex-fireman like I was, you'd hear about stuff and, you know, that sucks to have somebody and then, you know, the next day you're moving on with your life. But, you know, I never reached out and did nothing. I remember searching for those hats for him or for whatever
for companies
did, you know. Yep. And, you know, I don't know that what they didn't, I don't know if they went to anything, but
yeah,
you know, it was cool.
Yeah, they went to the families, my sister-in-law and Larry's wife.
I mean, I think they had like a six-month wait period at some point in time. I mean, it was crazy what the city, you know, came out to support the families.
The guy that did that, his name's Andrew Romano. He owns that company's sports apparel shop, and him and John actually went to school together.
Did they?
And like he was telling me after they passed away, because I knew who he was, you know, just because mm-hmm. we grew up in the neighborhood, the northeast neighborhood, which everybody knew everybody, but I was older than them, and so I really didn't.
Yeah.
But he was telling me stories. He goes, yeah, me and John actually went to a dance. We took these two girls together, and we played football together. Mm. And he said, I remember one time, I don't know if John was older than him or younger. I can't remember what it was. He said, but one time he said, your brother laid the wood on me. He goes, he knocked me on my butt. And he said, next thing I know, I'm, you know, laying on my back. And I look up and John's standing over me. He's like, oh, this guy's going to, you know, say something. He goes, and he reached his hand down and helped me up, patted me on my butt. It's a good play, man. So he, you know, he had a, you know, deep respect for John and a friendship with John. And he said, man, I had to do something.
That was a hell of an idea. I mean, I remember it just being, you saw them hats all over the place. And I remember when I went and picked mine up, he has a heck of a marketing idea, because I had to wait for about 10 minutes and ended up walking out of there about six other hats.
Right.
Like, I like that one right there. Oh, this little, they had a bin of hats that there was something wrong with them, but you couldn't tell what. I ended up walking out with three of those, you know, because they were like $3 a piece. Like, it's a hell of an idea. But, So, but anyway, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get an idea of what John liked to do, you know. So, moving into the different events, you guys talked about your annual shoot at Powder Creek, which is
in Lenexa.
Yep. And I was going to say, and then you did the bow hunting thing with the kids.
Yep.
What are some other events that you guys have gotten into since 15? I mean, what do you have some staples that you're doing every year? Obviously, you do the shoot every year.
Well, our main fundraiser is the shoot. This mm-hmm. year, it'll be September 11th and at Powder Creek again. And we will do hopefully a little better job of signing up with the COVID. We learned a lot of how to sign up online and get all of our teams online. But through our website, johnvmesh.org, you can sign your team up. And that'll be it's a five-person team, mm-hmm. September 11th. We provide lunch, dinner, probably do 50. We've normally done 100 shots. Last year with COVID, we went down to 50, but we'll either do 50 or 100 shots.
We provide.
We provide everything. It's a great, you know, we don't have expert marksmen out there, so it's really a
so if we come affair. To that, we don't have to worry about
yeah.
Laughing.
No.
It's that is our main fundraising event, and then throughout the year we find anyone that's going to a university for conservation related degrees, we give scholarships for mm-hmm. Any camps that we can provide assistance. We've done some university stuff.
Yeah, we actually partnered up with Delta Waterfowl.
Yeah.
And we're their premier sponsor for the university hunting program at Mizzou, which, like we were talking about earlier, is you'll have some millennials that have never been in the outdoors. You know, I mean, you know, people that are 25 to whatever years old or, you know, mm-hmm. now, I don't know what they call them, but, you know, college age that have never been in the outdoors. Their parents didn't hunt. So, when I was talking to the fella at Delta, he's like, you know, I know you guys are more geared towards kids, but would you be interested in this? And I was like, heck yeah. He says, because of getting these people interested in the outdoors, these college age kids, getting them out there and giving them hands on, you know, experiences and in the field.
Yep.
He said, that's how, you know, get them addicted. And then their kids will get, you know, they'll take their kids out.
The higher, what they call it, hunter retention.
I think.
I mean, cause if you think about it, you can, and it's great. You do it with the kids and stuff, but you do, if they do that one program, let's say they do the bow thing. I mean, what's to say that parent's going to continue on that tradition with them? I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but it is. You can get somebody in their 20s, that's an adult essentially, you know, they can make their own money, they can buy the stuff, they can, if they want to continue to hunt and fish and do those things, you know, your hunter retention is probably a little better.
Yeah, so, and even being, you know, down there, you know, he said not all these people are interested in being hunters, they're just interested in the outdoors, you know, mm-hmm. so they'd be the stewards of the outdoors, whether it be conservation or you know, doing programs that help the wildlife and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a big distinction, by the way. That's a good point, Jim. It's not just about, you know, being a hunter or being a fisherwoman.
Yeah.
It's about the outdoors in general. So if you're someone who just likes to go on hikes on all the freaking awesome state parks we have in this state, by the way, hidden gem here in our own home. But, you know, that could be, you know, maybe you just want to become a hiker and you want to learn how to do it the right way, or you want to be a rock climber or a bird watcher. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Now, I will argue with anybody that says a hunter is not one of the biggest conservationists there is, because I love that animal just as much as anybody, even though I want to kill it. But, you know.
We just know they taste good.
They taste good. That's the problem. They taste yummy. And that's pretty awesome, is you don't just have to want to become a hunter or want to become something that's taken the resource as well. You can just want to be someone who's involved in the outdoors. Yeah,
enjoys the outdoors.
Yeah.
You have to be a steward of the environment, or any hunter knows if we're not, it'll be gone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the things that me and John Cern has talked about, you know, over the past, that, you know, on our Facebook page or whatnot, is 363 Hunt Club. 363 being John's badge number. So you can also find us on 363 Hunt Club, and that tells you about everything we do as far as scholarships and our events. And like you, Nate, you could, you know, shoot a world record deer or catch the biggest bass, and you could put
That'd be badass.
Yeah, and you can post it on this Facebook page for everybody to see. And, you know, my daughter Heather, actually, when my brother passed, she said, Dad, you know, because I don't have any social media. That's just, you know, like I said, I'm an older guy, and that's not my cup of tea. And when we started this, she's like, Dad, you have to get on social media to get the word out about what you're doing. And I said, you lost your mind.
She was right, though.
Yeah, and she was. But there, we have, and to get to the point of the story, as me and Cern have talked about, there's people that support us every year, I mean, constantly wanting to do stuff for us, that aren't necessarily hunters or outdoorsmen. And that's the amazing thing, is that they think enough about this foundation, what we're doing, that they, you know, continue to help us. Yeah. Because it's not all about hunting. And, you know, I will never apologize for being a hunter. I mean, there's nothing more I love doing than sitting in my tree stand. But if you don't want to do it, hey, that's your choice. But my choice is to do it. And that's what my brother John loved. So when this... You know, when this happened, me and Cerna didn't know anything about a 501c3. We didn't know anything about sporting clay shoots, you know, but we was like, we're not doing a golf tournament. He didn't golf. He didn't play poker. You know, we actually, this past year, we ended up doing a bike ride. You know, he didn't ride a Harley, but we ended up, you know, I had a friend kept reaching out. He's like, dude, we need to do a bike ride. We need to do a bike ride. So last year was our first bike ride, and it turned out pretty successful.
Let's say those people turn up.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bikers turn up.
Yeah, so, but just the people that want to be involved, that they're not necessarily outdoorsmen, but they don't, you know, nobody, you know, puts down our way of life, so to speak.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to reiterate, by the way, the 363 Hunt Club, you can find it on Facebook and Instagram, which I don't know. Yeah, it's the last post is on Instagram, and it's 363, the three numbers, and then Hunt Club. Which, by the way, if anybody didn't catch Jim say that, that was John's badge number. So, you know, it's really cool to see this not only start, you know, in 16 or in 15, right after he passed away. I mean, now we're, what, 6 years into it now? Mm-hmm. You know, October, I guess, will be 6 years. Yeah. So, you know, it continues to grow, it sounds like. You continue to sponsor. Jim, you were telling me on the phone the first time we talked, it's amazing that, you know, more people don't know about it. And, you know, that you're having to try to find kids to do things for, or find people to do scholarships for. And, you know, this is an organization that your sole purpose is to get kids or older kids, I guess, in the event of a scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Involved in the outdoors one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, we've got your clay shoot, you've got just basically different events that might be something that you are able to get involved with every year. You know, whether it be like a bow hunting club or a bow hunting retreat, I guess you'd call it, like you did the first year. You might get approached with something this year that's just new and different, and somebody wants to involve you in it. And,
absolutely.
Yeah. We still do the bow camp every year. Sure. When the story John was telling, we was actually did some stuff with Raised at Full Draw. Mm-hmm. And the camps are down at the E3 Ranch, which is the ranch of Adam LaRoche. He's a former Major League Baseball player, and he's one of the buck commanders. He's just an avid outdoorsman. And he still does a camp down there, but I think they went another direction, so we're still sponsoring kids at that camp. But we do a bow hunting camp every year. Conservation is sort of in a flux right now with the Discover Nature Girls Camp because of funding and COVID and all that. So we still have money allotted for them. But like I said, you know, when I reached out to you, people that enjoy hunting in the outdoors, is just, you know, we could be sitting wherever at McDonald's and start talking about deer hunting.
Yeah.
And both of us are excited. And so, you know, it's,
yeah, especially we said with this last year with everyone buying every camping gizmo that's out there.
You know,
everyone's hitting, which is fantastic for us because, you know, people are really realizing what the outdoor and nature means to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not about hunting and fishing. It could be camping. It could be hiking. I mean, it's everything. Canoeing.
Yep.
You name it.
And it's just a common connection. I mean, like I was saying, that, you know, you just connect with somebody over it's a story about a deer hunt or a fishing trip or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
You know, and when I reached out to you, like I said, we didn't know each other from nothing. And the first thing you said was, yeah, man, I'm all in. What do we need to do? And, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it, what's cool is the outdoors means something different to everybody, even in the same area. Like my dad is my dad loves fly fishing. He don't eat fish. So he literally catch a trout and he release it. And he just loves to fish. That's all he does.
He could do that all day, every day. He could do it
all day, every day.
Since I've known Jim, pretty close, 6 years, he's literally spent more time in the woods than anyone I've ever been around in my life. And he's never thrown an arrow down way at all. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a coincidence, but same thing.
I'm going to step back here.
He bow hunts, but he doesn't shoot any arrows. So.
You're just being picky. That's all there is to it.
Well, right. Between him and my brother Mike,
my
brother Mike's, me and him and John and my nephew Michael, we'd always try to film each other. Uh-huh. We thought we was the next, big outdoor TV show. You know, no, so we're just doing it for memories. But, but anyway, we'd always try to film each other. So my brother Mike, he'd be out there, and it'd be, December and, 8 degrees, and we'd have, 130-inch deer walk by or something. And I'm like, I'm going to let him walk. He's like, man, you better start shooting these deer. So then if you
do
shoot
one. Got a lot of footage.
Got a lot of footage.
That's what they tell me. They say, you're not a deer hunter. You're a video guy. Right. I said, why don't you video? All you do is film.
It's the same thing with deer hunting. Like you were saying, you're an avid bow hunter, and we are too.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, it chaps my ass when, like a bow hunter looks down at a gun hunter, or a bow hunter looks down at a crossbow hunter, you know, which I don't do, but who am I to say how you choose to use your tag? I mean, you paid for the damn thing. It's your tag. Why is it my place? And boy, I mean, you see people arguing all the time, and I get it. I'm not saying I don't like bow hunting over rifle hunting, but I picked the boomstick up plenty of times in my life as well. So, that's what's cool about the outdoors. Even deer hunting or fishing or anything. I mean, they all have so many small meanings inside their own little communities, which is pretty cool. And so you can reach so many people. And you were right. Everybody was outdoors this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we went elk hunting and it was like,
oh, it was crazy.
It was like
one of my customers
walking through New York City in the middle of the backcountry.
One of my customers is, a local, they sell campers and stuff like that. And I was going in there talking to him one day, and he said sales were up 1,000%.
Wow.
I don't know how you can do that, but it's just ridiculous.
Take your sales.
Yeah.
And multiply them times 1,000.
I know, but in, a year time, it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
So, it's just crazy.
COVID didn't ruin everything for everybody.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Some people really had a good year.
Yeah. That's all we've been hearing
it
about.
Showed
though,
us
is
what
the
our nature is.
Yeah.
Nature
the economy
of human
is so
being,
bad.
What they are.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to a little more normal, what you used to be and, that sort of stuff. It's and that's awesome. You told me a story about before we started about these hog hunts. You just got back from one, actually. Right. We were going to record like last month or a few weeks ago, and you said, well, I can't. I'm going to be down in
Oklahoma.
Out in Oklahoma. And is that the same trip that you guys normally go on
or
had started going on with John?
Yeah, we do a yearly trip like I was telling you earlier. I've always wanted to hog hunt, just something that, we don't get to do up here. And this started, some years back when there wasn't any hogs here that in Missouri. Now they're getting some, but back then there was nothing.
I'm okay with not hunting them here, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going south.
Don't tear nothing up around here. But anyway, so I have a buddy that was a pro staff guy, and he asked me to go on a hog hunt with him. So I ended up going, and it was a blast. So when I come back, I told my brothers, I had, like I said, we had 8 children in my family. And my older brother passed in 2004, but my brother Mark, John, and Mike, I was like, hey, we need to do this hog hunting trip every year. This is a fun, a cheap hunt. It's a quick, a weekend hitter. I said, you ain't got to, break the bank or be gone for, take vacation. We can go down and do it. Plus, it's there's plenty to shoot.
You're going to get to shoot something.
You're going to let an arrow fly, Cerna. So anyway, so we did it the first year. And And it was me and, you know, my brothers and then Cerna and his son. I think, didn't Tony go that year?
Second year.
Okay, so we, you know, just a group of us. And we went and everybody had a blast. I mean, I don't remember if Cerna or my brother John, we were out there. And this, it's the weirdest thing. I was had my camcorder. I was bow hunting, mm-hmm. and they were all gun hunting. And so I got down on my stand. They was doing a drive, so I was just walking with my bow, and I was videoing everybody. And was it you or John that shot that pig running?
I did. Yeah. He was on my shoulder videotaping.
Yeah, I was walking behind him, and the guy that we was with is actually a bear guide out of Canada, and he was working this place in Texas in the off season. So he's like, yeah, these pigs are going to be up in this corner. He said, they're going to bust out across this. So I'm like, okay. So I'm walking behind Cerna, and these pigs break out up in this open pasture. And I mean, they're what, 200 and something yards out there, and they're just full tilt running. Cerna throws his gun up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this guy messing up bad. Man, he shoots and this thing head over heel just flops him. I'm like, holy cow.
Yep. What'd you shoot it with? You remember?
30-06.
Nice.
We keep on talking because we don't go on, you know, hunting trips every year and stuff. And we keep on saying we need to go down there and just kill some hogs. Yeah,
I got a buddy that keeps – he just went, and he's like, man, it's not expensive. It's, yeah, it's not, you know.
I don't know why what's holding us back. We need to do it.
We go. Sure. You guys go with us next year.
All right.
I got a spot that I guarantee if you come back and say you didn't have a good time, you're lying.
Right.
It's unreal.
Yeah,
it's a blast.
Yeah, but they can keep them down south. I will say that.
Oh, like, yeah. You can see some of the damage they do down there.
Right.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
I guess if you ever want to extinct a population of pigs, unleash them on Missouri farmers. They might get rid of them really quickly.
Well, I don't know. Texas is having a hard time.
Yeah, say Texas and Oklahoma don't like them either.
Hey,
yeah.
You guys ever tried the helicopter hunting? I would like to try that.
Yes.
That or I would like to ride in the helicopter with the guy that's shooting the hogs because I would miss them. But it'd be cool to be there.
Yeah.
You seen those videos?
I don't have the bankroll for that.
My gosh.
I'm sure that's not cheap.
That's high dollar.
Yeah.
What if you just ask, I just want to go on a ride. I don't even want to hunt. Just let me watch.
I don't know if you could find that much ammunition to go shoot them in a helicopter.
Especially nowadays.
The price of that thing just went up because them guys shoot like 300 rounds.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I'll watch every time I see one of the videos. I'll sit there and watch it. It's over.
I was watching one, I think it was last night or the night before, but they were in a side-by-side, and they had it all rigged up with lights, and they were chasing them down in the fields, and you just hear pop, 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 just going after him. He had, you know, like a laser or whatnot. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
The good part is they're actually pretty good to eat.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I've had it before. I've had some buddies go.
Do they prepare it up for you down there and all that?
I don't know what they did on their last, but we brought ours back and smoked them.
Yep.
We actually brought them to the state fire station.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Nice. They cooked them at the station. I remember that.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, and I mean, this is just all – it's a perfect way to continue John's legacy, you know, moving forward for hopefully for a long, long time, you know, well after all of us are gone, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, we have the shirts. When we go down there, we'll have – I think this year was like the 5th annual John V. Mesh hog hunt. You know, have a big old ugly pig face on it.
Yep.
Very cool. It's something we plan on doing.
So what can people do to get involved, either if they want to be part of one of the groups or if they want to help, you know, contribute? What can somebody do to do that?
Well, they can reach out to us, like Cerna said, johnvmesh.org, and send us an email or 363 Hunt Club. And reach out to us, send us a message. Okay. Whether you're a parent and your kid is looking at a career in conservation, or you know he's wanting to, and you need some help with tuition or whatever the case may be. Because what we found out is that these kids that are wanting these scholarships, like we just had a young man that's going to Mo State, and he wants to be a conservation agent.
Okay.
And he's doing it for the love of the outdoors. He's not doing it because he's going to become a millionaire.
We know that ain't going
to happen.
Well, that was the wrong choice, buddy.
Yeah, he wants to. Right. He just loves the outdoors.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, and the kids, his resume was unbelievable.
Yeah, we always need sponsors, donated items for our shoot. Like I said, that's our biggest fundraiser is the shoot. So if you want to sign up and actually come out and participate, if you want to donate any type of items, you have a, you know, we get a lot of guys that make some type of outdoor knickknack and they donate to us so they can get their product out.
Yeah.
You know, we have a list of all of our sponsors on our website. If you put on any type of camp, whether it be hunting, fishing, camping, canoeing, anything that needs, you know, some sponsorship, just reach out to us. I mean, we are always looking to get anyone involved with anything outdoors, just for that reason, so we can keep John's name alive, so my son or his daughters could carry on and carry on and carry on when we're
too old to do it.
Yep. Old and decrepit, hopefully.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. You know, just like, you know, being here tonight is, you know, just to help get the word out about the scholarship. And if, you know, if people want to help us, you know, God bless you. We're more than willing to take the help, you know, or donate. Or, but if you, you need or you're wanting a scholarship, you know, that we're here for that too. We do, we have money set aside that we can give to kids.
Yep.
So it's just anything outdoor related and stuff like that. I don't know how to explain it.
That's the perfect way to put it. And we'll tag all your stuff when we release this episode with you guys. If people forget how to get a hold of you, they can get a hold of us. You know, if they're listeners of ours and they remember, what was that thing? You know, they can get a hold of us and we can let them know how to get a hold of you. But, you know, just remember the name John V. Mesh.
Yep.
And all you got to do is Google it and it's the first thing that shows up.
Right.
You know, well, I guess if you Googled his name, other stuff might show up first. But I typed in John V. Mesh Memorial and boom, there it was. Yep. So, you know, if you remember the name John V. Mesh, that's who this is for. This is who this is in memory of. And you'll be able to help out, and I think it's a great way to, you know, continue on his legacy. You know, it's the true meaning of a brother, a blood brother, and a brother of the fire service who, you probably felt like you guys are brothers the minute you started working together. So, we appreciate you guys coming out and talking about it, and hopefully we can get you guys some more,
supporters
and things like
kids
that.
Kids and all that sort of thing. So
yeah. And it's just not for Missouri. I mean, I know this is a Missouri Woods and Water podcast, but this is a nationwide nonprofit organization. Like their shoot is in Lenexa, Kansas every year. And they've done many things in different states.
Yep. We had a couple kids from Montana.
Yeah, we sponsored a bow hunting camp in Montana, Iowa. You know, the deal with Mizzou. Now we just recently became a sponsor with the Pope and Young Club.
Nice.
You know, which is all about, you know, their deal is to getting kids in. Actually, archery is their, you know, but it's outdoor related. So anything outdoor related is up our alley.
Makes it easy because there's a lot of stuff you guys can do. I mean, it's never
we're not one-dimensional.
Yeah, and it's never boring at that point. You know, you can, I've never tried that. I guess we can give that a shot, you know, gives you a chance to do some different things. So, well, we appreciate you guys coming on and talking about John's foundation, talking about John a little bit. I know it's probably not the easiest thing to keep reliving things, but, you know, I think it gives those people, you know, in the state especially that might not have, you know, if you're from St. Louis, you might not have been as involved in knowing about what happened that day as we were more in Kansas City, but kind of gives people that reminder of what happened and the good that came out of it to be able to continue to his legacy. And I'm kind of looking at some of the pictures on the Instagram page as we're talking. It's cool. There's a bloody arrow right there.
Yeah, that's my. Who's that? That's me from.
Is that yours? Is that the one you
cut yourself shaving?
Is that the one you couldn't pull your bow back?
Yeah, that's
on
why I couldn't let go. That's one that cut the hog's heart in half last weekend.
Oh, look at that! Your wraps are John V. Mesh wraps.
Yep. And they got the Hunt Club logo on them right there.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's from Boning Archery.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, you guys got anything else before we hop off?
I appreciate the time. Yeah, appreciate the time. And it's, you know, that night for, you know, my family and obviously the Kansas City Fire Department was a tragedy. But there has been so much good done. And I have met so many people. You know, I knew Cerna. You know, before this happened.
And unfortunately, you know I'm a little better now. Right. What you're
but,
saying.
I mean, there's times we spend more time together than, you know, we spend with our families.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have been the case if my brother was still alive because, you know, bro code, that's your brother's buddy. You know him, you know. Yeah. But you're not, you know, I didn't hunt with them guys. I had my buddies I hunted with.
Yep.
You know. But we've just met so many generous people, so many good people. you know, the fire department's been great to us, and we just can't thank everybody enough, you know. So a lot of good has come out of a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, we'll keep doing it. We're behind you guys, and we'll do whatever we can for you, and, you know, keep doing this for as many kids and young folks as we can.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All righty, that's the show. Thanks for giving us a listen. You know, we really wanted to take the time to highlight, you know, some of these local charities and foundations and stuff like that. And the John Mesh Foundation, it's an awesome, awesome deal that they're doing. And we appreciate them coming on the show so that we could highlight that for them.
So. Yeah. So everybody make sure to check them out at their Instagram pages. So their Instagram and their Facebook pages are the 363 Hunt Club. And then their website is johnvmesh.org. So check out their website. And I think they got Twitter too, but I'm not on Twitter. So good luck on that one. Find it yourself. you know, check those out. They try to post some cool stuff. Neither John or Jim are big social media guys. So, you know, they don't do a whole lot, but they've got some cool stuff on there. So we follow them. And then check out their website for information about upcoming events.
Yeah.
Like they said on the show, they do their annual shoot on September 11th this year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's probably similar every year, but they'll be having it again this year.
Hopefully we can make it out to this one.
We're going to try. It's in our general area. It's in Lenexa, Kansas.
Yeah, so not too far.
So it's only about an hour from here, from where we're sitting right now at least.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to make it out to that. And otherwise, just to get involved however you can. It doesn't have to be with them. Just get involved. Take a kid hunting.
Yeah. Go outside.
Go outside. Go freaking fishing.
Yeah.
Take a walk.
Walk on a trail.
Yeah. Do something. and I'm guessing anybody listening to this is probably doing those things.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. But thanks for listening, and we hope you all enjoyed it.
Have a good one.
See ya.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.